Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Stolen Wealth of Slavery: A Case for Reparations, is a nonfiction investigative history by journalist David Montero. Published in 2024, the book examines how slavery generated enormous wealth not only in the American South, but also through northern banks, insurers, brokers, and corporations that helped finance, protect, and expand the slave economy. Its central purpose is to challenge the common view that slavery was a regional institution with limited long-term economic reach. Instead, Montero traces how profits tied to enslaved labor were redirected into industrial growth and modern corporate power, shaping institutions that still exist today. The book is both historical and argumentative. It reconstructs the financial afterlife of slavery while making a moral and economic case for reparations, especially corporate accountability. In doing so, it places economic history, racial justice, and contemporary reparations debates into one tightly linked framework. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Northern finance helped turn slavery into national wealth. One of the book's most important arguments is that slavery was not sustained only by plantation owners in the South. Montero shows that Northern banks, brokers, shipping firms, insurers, and business leaders were deeply involved in the system and profited from it at scale. This matters because it shifts slavery from a narrowly regional crime to a national economic structure. By following the movement of money, the book explains how enslaved labor produced commercial wealth far beyond the places where the labor occurred. The emphasis is not simply on moral complicity, but on institutional participation. Financial services made slave-produced commodities easier to trade, safer to insure, and more profitable to scale. That broader perspective helps explain why slavery was so durable and why its economic effects reached into later American development. The book therefore reframes Northern prosperity as partially built on bondage, undermining the comforting idea that distance from the plantation meant innocence. Secondly, tracing the money trail from enslaved labor to modern corporations, Montero's method is investigative rather than purely interpretive. He traces the flow of wealth from slavery-era profits into later industrial and corporate expansion, arguing that stolen labor was not lost after emancipation, but converted into new forms of capital. This is a crucial distinction because it connects historical exploitation to present-day economic power. The book suggests that some firms and families used money derived from slavery to seed businesses, investments, and infrastructure that became part of the modern U.S. economy. That approach gives the book its analytical force. It is not only saying slavery was profitable, but that those profits were reinvested in ways that compounded inequality over generations. The argument is especially significant because it helps explain why racial wealth gaps are so persistent. Rather than treating inequality as the result of vague historical legacy, the book shows a concrete mechanism through which stolen wealth was preserved, multiplied, and normalized inside respectable institutions. Thirdly, correcting the myth that Civil War ended slavery wealth. A major theme of the book is that the Civil War did not erase the fortunes created by slavery. Montero challenges the idea that the institution collapsed and took its profits with it. Instead, he argues that slavery-generated wealth was often protected, redirected, and reinvented after 1865. This matters because many accounts treat emancipation as a clean break, while the book presents it as an uneven economic transition in which former beneficiaries retained influence. By examining how business interests adapted after abolition, the book reveals continuity between the slave economy and industrial capitalism. The result is a more realistic account of American modernization. Industrial growth did not emerge in isolation from slavery, but was partly financed by it. This correction is central to the book's historical purpose, because reparations debates depend on whether the harm ended with legal emancipation or continued through inherited capital and institutional advantage. Montero clearly argues for the second view. Fourthly, reparations framed as corporate accountability, not only state obligation. The book stands out for focusing on corporate reparations as a practical and moral response. Rather than limiting reparations to government programs or broad abstract compensation, Montero identifies companies and financial institutions as direct beneficiaries of slavery, and therefore as entities with responsibility. This framing is important because it links harm to specific actors and specific gains. The book does not treat reparations as symbolic apology alone. It treats them as a response to identifiable enrichment. That approach gives the argument clarity in a landscape where reparations debates often become diffuse or politically evasive. By insisting on accountability, the book asks who benefited, how they benefited, and what forms of repair are appropriate. It also moves the debate from memory to institution, suggesting that companies built on enslaved labor should reckon with that history in material ways. This is one of the book's most contemporary features because it connects archival research to current questions about responsibility, disclosure, and restitution. Lastly, a history written to connect racial injustice with present-day inequality. The book is not only about the past. It is about how the past still structures the present. Montero uses the history of slavery-based wealth to explain why racial inequality remains deeply embedded in American life. The logic of the book is that if capital was accumulated through theft, then the descendants of that system, whether institutions or families, began later economic life with inherited advantage. That helps explain why wealth disparities are so resistant to change. The book also broadens the reparations conversation by showing that inequality is not merely cultural or educational, but rooted in accumulated financial power. This gives readers a more structural understanding of racism, one that links labor extraction, institutional finance, and modern capital formation. The historical material is therefore used in service of contemporary analysis. The book asks readers to see present inequality not as accidental, but as the measurable outcome of earlier extraction. That makes the work relevant to historians, policy readers, and anyone studying the long economic reach of slavery. In conclusion, The Stolen Wealth of Slavery should be read by readers interested in American history, economic inequality, racial justice, corporate ethics, and reparations debates. It is especially valuable for anyone who wants to understand slavery, not just as a moral catastrophe, but as an economic system whose profits helped shape modern institutions. The book offers two major benefits. First, it gives readers a concrete framework for understanding how wealth generated by enslaved labor was preserved and transformed into later capital. Second, it sharpens the reparations debate by tying responsibility to identifiable institutions rather than treating injustice as an abstract historical grievance. What distinguishes this book from many other works on slavery is its emphasis on financial tracing and corporate accountability. Instead of focusing mainly on plantation life, legal history, or broad cultural memory, Montero follows the money into banks, firms, and industrial development. That makes the book particularly useful for readers who want a historically grounded, institutionally specific argument about how slavery shaped the modern American economy and why repair remains unresolved. If you would like to support David Montero, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.